Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The silencing of Zechariah was quite an extraordinary scene. Zechariah was a priest who made his living, of course, with his voice. His vocation was to bless, to pray, and to teach. And yet, there he stood, like a quarterback without an arm, voiceless in the temple, unable even to finish his temple service with the customary blessing. Furthermore, Zechariah was a descendant of the priestly family of Aaron, the brother of Moses. Aaron's part in the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt was to speak eloquently, for as you remember from Moses' complaint to God from the burning bush, he himself was unable. Yet Zechariah, a son of Aaron the speaker, could not utter even a word. The even greater irony is that Zechariah's name anticipated just the kind of news that he received from the angel on that day in the temple. Zechariah's name means God remembers. And when Gabriel told Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth would have a child, even in her old age, God was remembering his people in the way that he had always promised to do. For when the Bible talks about God remembering, it is not simply his rummaging around in his memory bank. When God remembers, the scriptures show us he acts. So God remembered his people on the day Gabriel told Zechariah he would have a miraculous son, a son who would forerun the promised Messiah. God's action that day in the temple fulfilled Zechariah's own name in the ultimate way. Yet the one whose name means God remembers did not believe that God was indeed about to act on this promise. Zechariah forgot. He forgot God's wondrous actions of old. He forgot what God did for Abraham and barren Sarah, what he did for Isaac and barren Rebekah, Jacob and barren Rachel. He forgot just how good God is. And because he forgot, he doubted. Zechariah and Elizabeth are both described as being righteous before God. That's because their hope was in the Lord and in his promise to act and send the Messiah that he promised. Zechariah prayed regularly in the temple for this very thing. Yet when the Lord finally answered his prayer, he doubted the word of the angel, and instead he sought a sign. His offense was not in expecting too much from the Lord. Oh no, he expected too little. A story is told of a beggar who approached Alexander the Great for alms. Feeling exceedingly generous, Alexander ordered the beggar to be given the government of 5 cities. The beggar, of course, was taken aback. He said, "Whoa, I didn't ask for that much." To which Alexander replied, "You asked like the man that you are, and so I gave like the man that I am." Friends, our God is generous. He gives us exceedingly great and precious promises. He invites us to ask and has promised to answer. He gives us more than we either desire or deserve, for he is exceedingly generous. That's who he is. But we, like Zechariah, so easily forget that. We don't expect much from him because that's who we are. You and I, like Zechariah, are priests who easily forget. We forget God's indescribable goodness, which has made us part of his royal priesthood through our holy baptism. God in his mercy has chosen us as his own possession and has set our mouths apart to do his priestly work, to pray, to teach, to proclaim his goodness. And yet, we've doubted this. We have every reason to be bold and confident in our prayers, but instead we doubt. We've thought, what good will those prayers do? We have every reason to be confident in the Lord and His directing for our lives, yet we've doubted that He really knows what He's doing. We'd rather have things our way than God's way. Likewise, we have every reason to live with joy in all circumstances, to acknowledge that we are beggars who have been granted a kingdom, and yet we live and think and pray like God is stingy and disinclined to help us. We are royal priests of the King of Kings, but still we insult our King by not expecting much. We often ask as people of little faith, and it grieves the Holy Spirit. We are like Zechariah. We so easily forget God's fatherly goodness to us. But friends, thanks be to God that He does not forget. God, on the contrary, remembers. He does not forget His promises, and He does not forget His priests. He remembered Zechariah's prayer and acted. God gave Zechariah way more than he ever expected. Zechariah hoped for the Messiah someday, but God gave the Messiah within Zechariah's own generation and within his own family. Old Zechariah hoped that he might father a child, and God gave him a great child, John, who was the forerunner of the greater child who was God in the flesh. The ultimate instance of God remembering us and His promises was to send the one to whom John pointed, the one who was the greatest and the most faithful priest of all time, the priest who would perfectly remember and trust in the Father's goodness because we were unable. He would always have a confident hope in God, even in the most hopeless of situations. He would do all of this, that His faithfulness might be credited to you in your baptism. He would be not only the most holy priest, but also the most holy Lamb, the Lamb of God, who would be sacrificed for you and for me, the Lamb whose blood would atone for all of our doubt and all of our mistrust in God. Because God has remembered us, we have a great high priest now, as the book of Hebrews says. And great he is, for he used his voice mightily to bless, to pray, to instruct, and to gather us sinners into his church. He is the most faithful priest, but he chose to be silent before his accusers and go to an unjust death in our place. He was the greater Aaron, hanging on a cross with arms outstretched like a priest in prayer, uttering an eloquent absolution, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Likewise, he is the greater Zechariah, the priest who always remembers and who never forgets the unspeakable goodness of the Father. He never lost hope that his Father would raise him from the dead as promised. This same priest is now your eternal high priest, that priest who is seated at the right hand of God, acting even now as your intercessor and your advocate. We must not forget the people that we are. Like Zechariah, we are poor, pitiable beggars, deserving no good thing from the Lord. Thus, it is paramount that we never forget who the Lord is, that despite our humbleness, He is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. God remembered Zechariah, and He gave him a son who would proclaim, who would pave the way for the Messiah. Thus, God remembers your needs as well, your need for forgiveness. And so He acts, providing it for you in the Holy Absolution. He remembers your need for holiness, and He acts, providing it for you in holy baptism. He remembers your need for strength and for courage to live under the cross with patience and joy, and so He acts. He gives these to you too, providing it for you in His Holy Supper. In Advent, we are especially reminded that we are waiting for the appearing of our blessed hope, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring us into his glorious kingdom beyond anything that we could ever hope for or pray for or imagine. And yet, even now, he is present and active among us. Today, he exceeds our pitiful expectations. We ask him for some comfort for our wounded consciences, and he applies a double portion. We ask him to give us a little help in our trials, he gives us his kingdom. We ask for help enduring pain and sickness and disease, he gives us the promise of a full and complete healing on the last day at the resurrection of our bodies. At John's birth, Zechariah's voice would be heard again. But another child's birth would happen soon thereafter, and angels' voices would be heard all throughout the earth. What child is this? It is Jesus Christ, the Savior, the hope of Zechariah, and our hope. In his most mighty name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.